Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm reminded in my own life, but certainly probably on a weekly basis, as I talk with people and they share with me, and whether it's in the office or out in public somewhere or sitting over a meal or get a call or whatever it is. And we live life and we have these things that are before us in our life, and we just kind of wonder sometimes, you know, how should I react? What should I do? What should my decision be? What's God's purpose in all of this? What's God's will? Is this just me thinking this? And now I have some anxiety, and now I worry about this, and then all the, you know, the what ifs start coming, and what if this, and what if this, and what if that? And, you know, I appreciate how God has made us to consider life, to consciously think about things that we face and, you know, and how we should handle things and decisions we make and all of that. My heart goes out to all of us who experience those things in life, which we all do, but especially for older teens and young adults. I remember that stage in my own life. I am grateful to have relationship with so many in that age group, inside this church and outside this church, in this area. And the weightiness that they feel about making decisions. You know, they're graduating high school, and how many of you remember that day? Some of you who are out of high school, you remember that day? Do you? Do you remember wearing your gown and graduating? Some of you didn't wear the gown, didn't graduate. That's all right. We're still here. And do you remember all of that? I do. I remember my that ceremony. There was about 800 in my graduating class. We sat in a field house through this ceremony. My last name begins with W. They started with A. It was a long ceremony, and it was warm. It was hot under that gown. You know, that was back in the day where, you know, we were fairly reverent. And so, in other words, underneath that gown, we were not wearing sneakers and shorts and a tank top. You know, it was dress shirt and, you know, suit pants, and the whole, it was warm. I remember that day. I remember, you know, feeling like I had some direction and where I was going to go to school and all those things. And it's just, it's weighty. You feel like, I don't want to make a mistake. I want to put older teens and young adults at peace in this room. And these are things that I've shared with my own children. Now, the principles probably we can share even as adults. Sean, don't worry about him. Hey, buddy, yeah, you like those drums. I know you do. Bright and shiny and noisy. I want to remind you, older teens and young adults, the decisions you're going to make are important. But they don't have to be permanent decisions. In other words, if you go off to school, Jenna, when you go off to school, and you work your way through and you get a year behind you and you say, you know, I've discovered, the Lord's been good and I felt like He's led me, but this is not what I should do. I want you to know that you have permission to change your mind and come back. Listen, you have permission to change your mind unless the Lord has said, no, no, don't you run from me, okay? And then you can run all you want if that's your choice. Wherever you're running to, He's already there. They're weighty. They're important decisions. But you know what? If you discover that you're into something, you don't have to do it just to do it. Now, there are times we have to grind and stay committed to something we're uncomfortable with, right? All the older adults in this room say, mm-hmm. All of the adults in this room say, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just running by feelings, but understand that we make decisions and we can change our mind. It is okay. You don't say, well, what are people going to think? And they're going to think I didn't know and I didn't hear and I'm some screwed up kid. Hey, listen. Some of us just aren't kids anymore. We're still, some of you said it for me, yeah. We're still a little messed up and trying to figure things out. We face decisions in our life and what to do and where to go and all of this. And I know some of you are really spiritual and, you know, you don't just pray for your meal. You pray, what should I eat at this meal? I mean, I get you're really super spiritual. I'm not there yet. I just kind of pick what I think is I'd like that day on the menu. You know, waitress comes over, first question isn't what your specials, what pie do you have today? Although there are times I say, no, I shouldn't do that, and I'll have a salad. It's true, that happens about 5 times a year for me. We struggle. What do we do? And maybe a new job opportunity comes, and I don't know, and what should I do, and is this best? And we begin to make our pros and cons list, and I think it is good that we go through all of that stuff on what should I do. Some of us in this room are so settled into life, we're no longer wanting any decisions to make. I'm comfortable, and don't bring me opportunity. Oh, how sad. For us. I mean, there's nothing wrong with comfort, but if the Lord is wanting to do something different, our comfort shouldn't be in circumstance. Our comfort should be in Him and His direction in our life. And so we go through these things. What should I do? And what should our answer be? And I kind of feel this way. And, you know, my spouse feels this way. And, you know, we don't totally agree. And you know, how do we sort through this? And what if? And what if? And what if? Listen, I'm okay with us, you know, making a quick little pit stop for the what ifs. But, you know, we can't spend all the emotional, mental energy on the what-ifs to the point where it starts robbing us of the revelation of God and starts robbing us from the now moment in our life and in our home. I want to talk to you a little bit about how we can walk through life at peace, not maybe knowing what the decision is at the time, or the decision we need to make within some deadline, or, well, I need to make this decision. Nobody's put a deadline on me, but I know I need to make this in the next couple of days. You know, what do I do? What's my response? All of these things. How we can go through life and find our peace with the Lord in it when He doesn't say to us, this is what I want you to do. Step one, step two, step three, and gives you specifics. Let's face it. It's easy when He says, drive here, turn right, stop, go left, pull in, go to the third booth. Right? Even then we're wondering if it's Him or us. Well, I really felt yesterday like the Lord spoke to me, and now today I'm not so sure, and was it me or was it Him? And I appreciate, we all go through these things, but I want to share with you this morning some principles from His Word that He gives to us on how to walk through and make decisions or the ability to change our mind and be at peace with how He is leading us. Because understand that there are times that He leads us that we don't have this supernatural revelation of His Spirit coming upon us and moving us. There are times I make decisions in my life, and that day it steers another direction than maybe what's on my calendar or what I planned or what I thought. I mean, it happens sometimes from when I leave in my vehicle from this church and I'm planning to go somewhere and I come to the end of this driveway and I go the other direction. And I just sense, you know, I'm going this way. Because for whatever reason, by the time I turn the corner and get down the road here, whether I'm trusting that it's him, he just puts someone in my mind, whatever it is, and I turn and I go and I show up there. And it's not some supernatural phenomena that I feel. And it's not always like this. Sometimes it's just decisions I make. I'm going to go see this person. I'm going to call this person. Just like some of you do. I think I'm going to make this decision. If I have time, I'm going to sleep on it a little bit more. Which sleep on it means, you know, I'm just going to kind of think about it and wait on it and see what I sense, not just what I feel, but what I think is best. And if we don't have some direct revelation where we feel like God spoke to us, I want you to know that sometimes he doesn't speak to us on the decision we make. He speaks to us very, very clearly, though, on the principles of trusting him when we are not sure that we are making the right decision or not. I want to share with you this principle, and these are popular verses, and you'll be familiar with them if you've been around the Scripture or church for some time. It's in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to jump around. You may want to write these references down. I'm not going to wait for everybody to turn there in the Bible today for the sake of time. And, you know, Romans chapter 12, depending on what translation you read, but the purpose and the meaning is the same. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Or I beseech or I urge you. Okay, this is what Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 12. He says, listen, I urge you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Not dead sacrifices, but living sacrifices. This is very important. Okay? Living sacrifice. In other words, we commit our body, our person, this shell, and all that generates within it in our human life. I present it as a living sacrifice. In other words, sacrifice to myself, I sacrifice myself so that this body, my soul and spirit, all that I am, is offered up to him that he can do with me, us, as his good pleasure and will and purpose that he has. He says, I urge you to do this. I beseech you to do this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act. This is your worship. Okay, we praised and sang this morning and it involved our voice and hopefully it involved our will and we chose to offer it up and we had some physical expression or physically we were at least here and so we were offering up ourselves. We're still living, breathing, we still have the ability to make our own choices, but we're offering it all up to him. Presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, saying, God, this is my worship to you. And then he says in the second verse, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, now don't conform to the patterns of this world. Now, I want you to, for us to understand that conforming to the patterns of this world is not just saying, hey, I got to look at the world and how do they live. Those are indicators. But don't conform to the patterns of this world. We don't even have to look to this world. I can look to myself and find the world. There is my flesh. Don't conform to the patterns of this world who run their life by the flesh. My way, fleshly way, my thoughts, my plans, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm going to live, and well, that doesn't matter, and I don't care, and blah, 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 you know, and whatever the criteria is that the world makes decisions. The Lord's very clearly, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through Paul, to say, listen, don't conform to the patterns of your flesh or this world, but rather be transformed. Ah, transformed. Transformed. This isn't just like some little change. It's transformation. It means the inside, in here, we are being changed, transformed, changed. By the renewing of your what? Your mind. By the renewing of my mind. In other words, I have to put away the patterns of this world and my thinking, put it away, and I've got to be renewed here in my mind because I'm being transformed inside. Because by doing this, Paul writes, by renewing our mind, then we are able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Oh, remember the basis of this. What do I do? What decision do I make? How do I live? What opportunity do I say yes or no to? How do we just come to that point? Present myself as a living sacrifice to God. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. That I'm going to, with His help, think His way. Okay? And by doing this, I am able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Thus, I know now what to do. Got it? That was an overwhelming response. I urge myself, by the mercies of God, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him, which is our spiritual worship, that we no longer conform to the patterns of our fleshly thinking or the patterns of this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you and I are able, through this process, through this principle, able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have been given the ability to know God's will. Come on. Come on, turn to the person on both sides of you. You have been given the ability to know what God's will is. Some of you are going, nobody has ever told me that. Oh, I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Listen, the access to God in this is by way of His Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. Other than God Himself, the only person that knows your thoughts is the Spirit that is within you. In the Scripture, it talks about, Paul writes to the Corinthians, that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us the mind of God. But I want you to know that, you know, discovering His will isn't like this checklist system. I'd like to know your will right now, so I want to just kind of jump into your Holy Spirit, you know, tell me what God's thinking, okay, thanks, and I'm out of here. I like watching people, not just people, I like watching people interact with other people. It's not so much like, you know, people watching and I just can't wait to get to Valley View Mall and sit on one of the benches and just watch people go by. That is not, yeah. I like watching people interact. I like going into places and paying attention. Though I'm looking over here, my attention is actually maybe right over here as I'm watching a mother try to deal with three screaming children and one full grocery cart. And I like watching not just what she's doing and yelling and screaming and pulling out her hair and, you know, cursing her husband who isn't there. And not just watching her unidirectional, but I like watching the kids, the different kids' responses. And how they respond and the interaction. And then while this is happening, watching the unverbal interaction between her, now the mother's awareness that she's in public and then the public's awareness of what's going on over there. Or when I'm waiting in line and I'm watching the interaction of the person who is in front of me in line and checking out and asking questions and taking forever to, where's my debit card, and and watching the cashier and the clerk look at them, and are they smiling, rolling their eyes, or are they like, okay, you're kidding me, right? You know you were going to check out, and now you're up here, and you're not prepared, and And I love watching these interactions. I like watching the interaction that I have with people. And sometimes I will say something and do something maybe to just kind of catch them off guard a little bit, or maybe it's not the norm of what they expect when they're out in public, and watching their response or watch them light up or whatever they, and just all this interaction back and forth. When we look at the scripture, I don't want us to be ignorant of these accounts of when God shows up and does something and the interaction between him and people and how he treats people and how people responded. If I were to ask you if you could be just for a moment present at anything in the scripture, when fire came down from heaven and Elijah called it down and God answered, and all the prophets of Baal turned out and been slaughtered. Like, if I could pick a spot in the scripture, that's what I would have liked to have seen. Or, when Jesus walks up to the man on a Sabbath and he has a shriveled hand, and, the audience is there and people are wondering if he's going to heal, and the Pharisees are trying to trap him, and, and Jesus just tells the man to stretch out his withered hand, and immediately it was healed. Would you like to have been there? Was that the one you pick? Or would it be the resurrection when you ran to the tomb and it was empty? And, what in the scripture, where do you wish you could land for a moment and have been present? Well, there's probably several and hard to pick one. I will honestly tell you where I would have liked to have been present. It's hands down for me. I mean, there's a lot of exciting things that happen, but I'll just tell you, hands down, this is my choice. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. It says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Of all the things throughout the scripture, of all the events, of all the things that Jesus did, and I've said this before, and my mind has not changed. If I could be one place, land one place for a few moments, it would have been when Jesus was alone interacting with his Father. I'm not saying my choice is better than someone else's. I'm just telling you that is my choice. Hey, I got the right to make my own choice here. You mean you wouldn't want to be at the crucifixion? You mean you wouldn't want to be at the resurrection? You wouldn't want to be on the day of Pentecost? I'm just telling you my choice. I'm aware of most of the events. My choice is I would have liked to have been watching close by when he was interacting with his Father. For you and I to have this ability, be given the gracious ability and opportunity to know God's will, it doesn't just come out of the principle, this one principle in Romans chapter 12, that is part of it, but all of this comes out of relationship with him, fellowshipping with him. I sit with people on a regular basis who say, I come to church, I'm involved, and I'm just reading you kind of a nutshell version of the general resume. There's always variances, variables between individuals, but, I do this, I do that, I do my, daily bread reading in the morning, and I talk to the Lord a little bit through the day and things like that, and I say, all those things are good, and we need to discipline ourselves to have those moments. But it can't be a checklist. Listen, how close, I'll speak to married people here, or people who have been married, How close, really, is your relationship if your marriage basically boils down to the conversations that you have that are just basically a business meeting? You talk about schedule. You talk about finances. You talk about your plan. You talk about the kids. You just, you know, you could take those items and you could move them into any business meeting. Finances, schedule, events, and you talk about staff, and you talk about communication, and you know, that's it. That's not relationship. It's a business meeting. Now, we should be talking about business with our spouse or whoever. We have to connect that way. These are important things, okay? But is that where you started your relationship with this person? Is this where you got to know them and the kind of decisions they're going to make and how they're going to make decisions? Don't worry about it, Sean. Sean, you know what you need? You need a new pair of sneakers that light up like his do when he runs. Either that or you wore yours out chasing him. Listen, is that how you first got to know each other and how they make decisions? You just basically, well, you know, nice to meet you. Let's talk about our schedules. Let's talk about the events. Let's talk about finances. Is that what you did, or did you just kind of hang around each other and spend time together and have a relationship and build a friendship and feel all the woo-hoo-hoo? I like being around them. Huh? Some of you, can you remember back then how you felt about the person you're sitting next to today? You built relationship. Over time, I get it. Some of the emotion goes away or comes and goes, but you know what? What's the basis of your relationship? Is it still having relationship? This is, you know, when we have a prayer time with the Lord, because our decisions of, you know, trying to discover God's will for us, it's best if it's birthed out of relationship with Him, that we are being with Him, and being with Him is part of transforming us on how we think, because we begin to think like Him. Right? It is why I would love to have been with Jesus to watch Him interact with the Father. Jesus says things in different places in the Scripture. He says, listen, on the day that I'm lifted up, you will know that what I have said was actually what my Father told me to say. Well, how did that happen? By Jesus being with the Father. Well, yeah, but He was in heaven before, and then He came, and so He... Whoa. He took on human likeness and battles humanity within Himself just like you and I have and are doing. Only He wasn't born into sin. And He didn't commit sin and became the perfect sacrifice to redeem us to God and make way for us to understand that God, we can have a relationship with Him, and through this relationship I can discover... Through this relationship, I can discover that I can trust God, that He will talk to me, and when He doesn't give me the full answer, I still know to commit my way to Him, and He's going to direct my steps. We can recall Proverbs chapter 3. We know that if we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, or we don't lean onto our own understanding, but trust Him, He then will make our paths straight. If I commit my way to Him, I acknowledge Him in all my ways. And I mean, I really commit my way to Him. In other words, He owns me. And I'm happy for this. And because of that, in this relationship with Him, and carrying out that principle in the relationship, that I can now walk out these doors and not have great anxiety about which way I'm going to turn out of the driveway. Or what college... It's between two and it's coming down and I've sent deposits into both and I need to send my withdrawal to one. And how? Listen, look for His voice. What makes sense to you in good conscience before Him? And I need to come to a decision and make the decision. Move ahead with peace. If you can't move ahead with peace, then you know this is the wrong direction. I'm going to this other option. Listen, after high school, that spring of graduating and that fall, I was enrolled to go to one of the AG colleges in a warmer state. I grew up in Wisconsin. And as time drew close, I'm not supposed to do this. Well, my dad may have got a little relieved, but my mother, she had anxiety because she's thinking, oh no, he's not going to go into the ministry. I know God has called him. And it wasn't about being called into the ministry. I knew that direction. But I didn't feel like I was going to the school. And I stayed home, and she had great anxiety because I stayed home and chose to stay home a year and work. She was afraid that I'd never go and then never pursue God's call. And my father said, I'm not worried about that. I'm not sure about this whole ministry thing anyhow. And, at that time in his life. And, my plan would be, yeah, you stay home here, have a job, and we can hang out on weekends. Work hard, be a truck driver like the rest of us. Following fall, I went off to a different AG school. Was grateful, saved enough money, paid cash for my first year. Of course, back then it didn't take much. It was, $5,000. Now, and my third daughter decides to go 5 years to college. I don't know, maybe she's going to go for her master's and go 2 more years. I don't know. If she's going to go that far, please just stay in school, become a doctor, become wealthy, and pay me back. I'm having a little bit of fun with it, but felt right about it. Went there. My mother was relieved. My dad was like, well, if you're going, you're staying a full year and don't you come home. Well, you can come home on breaks, but you're staying there for a full year. If you're doing this, you're staying there. There's none of this, I'm unhappy and, oh, I don't know if I like it. You finish one full year and then you can make your decision. I'm so thankful for my father. He wasn't terribly spiritual back then, but boy, he sure gave some wisdom from the Lord. He gave some other wisdom just prior to that. Oh, you're not going to school? Well, you got 6 months to decide what you're going to do. You either get a decent paying job, you can live here at home, that's fine. But by 6 months, you're sitting around here, I want you to know I'm marching you down there and you're enlisting. And my mother, she ran to her bedroom and she prayed for 3 months. She never came out of there. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He's going to direct your steps. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but present yourselves a living sacrifice unto God. And you're going to be able to test and approve and witness and know that this is the way and I should be walking in it. Oh yeah, but when things get hard, does that mean the Lord closed the door? Sometimes. Sometimes they just get hard. It is part of the journey. So you can't just read into circumstances. Well, if it's easy, that must be the Lord. And then the next person that comes into my office says, things are too easy. I think the devil's deceiving me. Next person comes in, things are so hard. This must be the Lord's will because it's so hard. Next person comes into my office. This is all within, within 5 hours. And the next person, oh. It's so hard. This must not be the Lord's will. Wait a minute. That's how we're interpreting whether it's God's will or not? Whether it's easy or hard? And depending on if we're a person who looks at the glass half full or half empty? Oh, please tell me that is not how we discover God's will. Can there be signs and circumstances along the way that get our attention to confirm that this is or isn't God's will? Yes, He can use them. But please tell me that you and I will make decisions based upon our relationship with Him and the principles of His Word that we can know for sure what He's saying. Not this guesswork, it's hard. Back and forth and back and forth. Hey, listen, I appreciate going through the process. But we can't live like that. Waysides were never meant for you and I to set up a tent and live there. We got to get back in the flow of God's purpose and keep moving on with what He has for us. Hey, we all have our moments of second guessing about what we're doing or how or whatever. And I think the evaluation can be good. But if it paralyzes us or prevents us from walking in faith before the Lord, listen, we need to get back. And all of that comes out of relationship with Him. How did Jesus know what to do and when to? Because He was with His Father. Listen, your times with the Lord and your prayers, we should bring everything to Him. Yeah, our requests, our supplications, our struggles, our wishes, all of this. Our prayer requests. Yeah, but is that the extent of your relationship with Him? When is the last time that you sat with Jesus, took a walk with Jesus, and told Him how you felt about Him? Or is it just a business meeting? When's the last time you have walked with Him, went on a walk, didn't talk about all your needs and all the money you want and all the wishes and all the, physical ailment? When's the last time you put all that aside and you went for a walk with Him and told Him how beautiful He was? How you're so grateful for His faithfulness. Because He brought you through this, and He brought you through this, and He brought you through this. When's the last time you've looked up as if you could look into His face and say with great affection and sentiment that I love you so very much? I'm not just saying I'd be lost without you just in a spiritual context, but I'd just be lost without you every day. Isn't that the relationship things we do with one another? Or is it just business? I enjoy staff review time with our staff. One, probably because our staff size is very manageable. I don't have to sit with staff reviews with 300 people in a factory. I have them fill out a form, and it varies a little bit each year how I do it, but they come in, they know it's staff review, and it's all about what's on the sheet, and we're going to talk about your performance. And then this last year, I threw in a question on the form that they had time to prepare for me before our staff performance review. I threw a question in the middle of all the other questions that pretty much had to do with the job. And I said, are you ever lonely? And if so, how do you deal with it? Whoa, wait a minute. What's that have to do with a staff review? Well, these, and please don't take this wrong, these are my people. What I mean by that is we belong to one another. These are my friends. This is about relationship together. And I care about them. And it isn't about caring about them just when they're sitting behind the desk or doing the job, but caring about them because I have relationship with them outside of this office. I want to know if they're okay. Now you're saying, hey, legally you can't do that stuff. That's a privacy act. That's a personal. Sue me. If they come across and say, well, frankly, Randy, that's none of your business, then I would say, I can accept that as an honest answer, and I'm sorry if it offended you. Let's move on to the next question. And it wouldn't affect whether they stay hired here or not. My goal would be by the next year when I ask a question, they're going to personally offer it because we have had relationship through the next year. And they can understand the context in which something is asked. It's about relationship. Our relationship with the Lord cannot consist of, this is my daily task list, and I read my Bible, boom. Well, which we should do. I talked with the Lord, boom. I prayed for so-and-so, boom. Those are good things, and they help us. But if that is the extent, I want you to know that we can flounder and lean on our own understanding. And though we're going through all the spiritual disciplines and the spiritual practices that we have set forth, we can still be empty of relationship with Him. If I could watch the interaction between Jesus and His Father. Because out of it, out of that, we begin to know what He says and how He thinks and what He desires and what pleases Him. I didn't ask permission to share this, but I'm going to do it. And if it upsets you, Carol True, you can, I don't know, have your husband Gene rebuke me after. I got a text from her yesterday morning, a picture of a purse that she bought. Number one, I'm a guy. I'm not looking for a purse. She said, this particular store in La Crosse, I just bought this cute purse and immediately I thought of your wife. And Carol knows that, you know, I have an eye, to some degree, in my personal estimation, of what is nice and what looks good and decoration and apparel and things like that. I know some of you are looking at me now going, really? But I immediately thought of your wife, and her suggestion was, of course, you should get down there and buy your wife one of these. She says, you know, I don't want you to think me weird or anything. Now, how would Carol know about this stuff? Because we have a relationship, and she observes, and she knows some things about me, and she knows about how I like to get things for my wife. Some things I get her, I know she won't like, but I like them. Carol knows the story that I bought a purse for my wife this last Christmas that I knew when I saw it on the shelf, I loved it, and I thought immediately, my wife will not like this, but my daughter Jessica would love this, and I'm buying it anyhow. Most of the time over the past several years, I don't do that anymore, because I learned early on there was a lot of clothing and things that just did not get worn. And when I would bring stuff home as Jessica grew older, Jess just steals stuff. Yeah. By the way, this is not the bag. The bag I got is a little bit lighter color, and it's really kind of more of a tote type bag, and it's got like this long fringe that hangs off the corners of it. It's just, can I use this? It's just sexy. I don't mean that in a carnal, I just mean it's, sexy has different connotations. It's just, I just looked at that, that's just sexy. Okay? if that offended you, just that wasn't my intention. I just did, you know, it's just, oh, that's just, no, oh, that's cool. Fringe, you know, walk and the fringe hangs down because it's long. It's not that stubby little stuff that you go, why'd they even put that on there? It's a long, and you walk and it, you know, it's got flow to it and it's just. Now, how would Carol know? She goes, I hope you don't think. I said, I get it. You know that I like to get stuff for Sue, and I like certain things like that. And, you know, and she just, and so when we get to know, like Carol sees, observes, and knows, kind of like helping you, Randy, because Sue would like some of these, you know, rather than that fringy thing you bought her, you know. How'd she know that we would like that and that would be desirable and cool and my wife would appreciate it and I need the help and all that kind of stuff? Because of relationship. How will we know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is if we're just going to business meetings and we have no relationship with Him? You want to know what to do in life? Focus on your relationship with the Lord. And out of that, live out the principles. And you know what? He will, these are my words, He swerves you. This is not scripture. He makes our paths straight. What I say, because I'm, you know, you and I are faulty and distracted. He knows how to swerve us into the truth. Just because a job offers you more money does not mean that it's God's will. And because a job offers you less money doesn't mean it's not His will. I love watching people come into the church and make it home and grow and share life together, and somehow some opportunity comes along that they have the opportunity to maybe relocate and move. And I like when they come and talk to me about it, not so that I get to know about it, but I like when they come and talk to me about it, and this is part of their conversation, their concern, and part of their grieving, apart from maybe the wonderful opportunity, is, I don't know if we're going to find another church family like this. That part of their thinking is, where we're living, my spiritual life and my family and church is high, 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 high on the list. Not the money, not the location, not the weather. Not that those things can't be a part of God's opportunity for us, but lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. Don't conform to the patterns of this world and your human thinking, but lean and trust on the Lord. He will direct your steps. And it comes to relationship with Him. Not just in the moment you need a decision from Him, but on a daily life. It's relationship with Him. It's being with Him. Feelings come and go, but some of the moments where I just feel His presence so strongly, and it's just for a brief moment, is outside of regular intercession times and reading and study times, but moments where I stop and I acknowledge Him in something that He has done or something I sense at the moment, and I tell Him about how I think about it, how I feel about Him, what I think about what He's done, and just the nearness of His friendship. The nearness of His Lordship, the nearness of Jesus Himself. And it's this confirmation that there's this closeness and there's the nearness and that this is very real. This isn't hypothetical, it's not imaginary, it's this real revelation. And it's an assurance to me that whatever decision comes before me, He's going to bring me into the truth of it. Because He owns me, I've committed my way to Him. I need to continue to commit my way to Him. I need to continue to acknowledge Him in all my ways. I need to continue to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And you know what? I can be peaceful about decisions. I know it's late. Sue and I, when we left the pastorate where we were prior to coming here, when we drove out for the interview, I don't know if we were 5 minutes out of town, we were both kind of just worn out and tired and just looked and said, what are we even doing this for? Why are we even going there? We don't need to leave here. We just built a home. You know, everything's, what are we doing? Went through the process here. Still a little bit of unsurety. Just what are we going to do? We come to the meeting. The membership votes. They inform us that it was, I don't know, 98% or whatever it was. That yes, you know. And so the board and pulpit committee go back and tell me and say, you know, so what are you going to do? I said, well, give me and Sue a minute. I don't know, Sue, what do you want to do? You sense anything? You know, and she said very little and just said, you know, whatever you decide. Thanks for the help. What she's saying is, I support you. And I know, Sue, if she had strong feelings about something one way or another, she would tell me. Not because she thinks she knows better, but she cares about me and what I do and what we would do as a family. I mean, we had children who are at the pre-adolescence and early adolescence age. It's a very tough time to move. They started making friends, things like that. We were making a comfortable living. We just built a house outside of town. You know, all of these things. We knew that in many ways when we initially came here, it was less than a lateral move. But that wasn't part of this. It's who owns us. So what's our decision? I said, you know, I don't sense any red flags. We don't need to leave where we're at. But I feel like if we're called here, there are some very specific things that God has in the storeroom of our lives that can be brought forth at this place. And I'll go in and tell him, yes, we're going to accept. We commit our way to the Lord, and he brings us into the truth. And no mistake is too big for God to fix. No wrong decision is too great for God to bring around and back into his purpose.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.